Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Preach a word real quickly this morning, because I was going to go ahead and go. Every year I ask the Lord for a word to speak to our church that is very just, what is the Lord saying for 2024? What is the Lord saying for 2023? So on and so forth. I've done that every year. And last year was shattering the ceiling, but this year I feel like it's beyond. It's funny because it kind of all goes together when you really look at everything. But I was going to start the series, and I remembered Equip Seminars next weekend, and I felt the Lord go, you know, put the hand in the chest and say, nope, that's not, you're not supposed to preach this yet. And I believe it's because the Lord wants to equip us before we go beyond. If you go beyond without the proper equipment, you are not going to survive out there, okay? And so I believe that the Lord, part of what God wants to do next week is an equipping for our church body, a reviving of the prophetic word. Lord, I mean, I'm believing for signs, wonders, and miracles to take place this year, stuff that is beyond our comprehension and beyond our thought process. It is something that God can only do. I'm believing for that kind of stuff this year, but the church has to be equipped to do the work first, okay? So I believe that's part of what God's doing. Today, though, I want to talk to you on pressing start. Somebody say press start. I want to talk to you about this idea and this thought process of pressing start on what God wants to do in your life this year. As we're coming into a new year, as we're coming into 2024, we're here in 2025 now, and we're thinking and we're dreaming up things that we can do, things that God wants to do within our lives, so on and so forth, which we talked about last week. We talked about setting goals and what goals look like and biblical goals and so on and so forth. But today I want to talk to you about pressing start. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up in the 90s. I'm a 90s kid. I was born in 1992, I'm the game system kids, okay? Like, we have the iPad generation now. I was the game system kids. I was that N64, Sega Genesis. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The SNES, Nintendo. I even had Nintendo. Duck Hunt was the stuff, man. Man, I love Duck Hunt. But, you know, I can remember the days where there was certain days that my dad, you know, or my parents would be like, hey, we're going to go buy you a new game today. Those were the best days of my life. Like, what? We're going to get a new game today? I've been excited for college football, 1999. At that time, it was NCAA football. You know what I'm talking about? And all the teams that are good now were horrible then, like just the worst teams. But I can remember going and getting those games, and we know we get home, and I'm so excited about playing that game and so on and so forth. And then, like, you know, you turn on the system, you're like, anybody know what I'm talking about? The day of cartridges. Kids these days know nothing about cartridges anymore. Y'all know downloadable content and digital downloads, which are great. I love them now, even though I will say, I told Pastor Chelsea the other day, I'm just going off on a rabbit trail, but it's okay. I told Pastor Chelsea, I hate modern day video games. Everything has to have three logins in order to play one stinking game, okay? And my kids come to me like, Dad, can you just get this login? I'm like, why? What happened to the days when you just put it in a disc and play the game, okay? Just go for it. Anyways, but I can remember the, wouldn't work, and you're like, you just put the cartridge in there harder, just hoping that something would happen. I don't know if maybe I was the only person who had some, maybe I needed some anger management or something like that, and I was just taking it out on the game system. I don't know. But I remember putting the cartridges in, it wouldn't work, so on and so forth. But then finally the game would work, and then it loads up, and it's like, Sega, right? And then it's like, there's a prompting that comes up on the screen next. You have Sonic the Hedgehog that's up there, however the song goes. And then there's a little line right there, and what's the line say that you need to do? What's it say? It says press start, right? Pressing start is what begins your journey doing the new thing that you have. Pressing start is the thing that starts the journey. It is not the ending. It's the beginning of where you're hoping to go to. And oftentimes, we can know even the ending of something. I've played games before where I've known the ending of the game, but I have to start the game before we can end the game. We have to go through the things. We have to take some processes. There's some levels. There's some different things. And today I want to talk to you about, now that you've got your goals, now that you've set some things that you know the Lord wants to do in your life, so on and so forth, now it is time to actually press start and begin to do those things, to actually begin to make those changes in your life. And you know what? Here's the thing. It is one thing to say, I want to do something. It's another thing to actually do something. Talker's gonna talk, okay? We can talk, but unless you do something, in other words, say it like this. I had every intention on January 1 of launching my new diet. Guess what I didn't launch on January 1? My new diet, because Chinese food sounded better. Okay, I wanted some Chinese takeout. It's all right. We listen and we don't judge, okay? Judge not, lest ye be judged. January 1, we plan on starting a diet, so forth. It didn't happen. January 2, it didn't happen. What day are we going to know? January 3, January 4, January 2, I made barbecue. I made pulled pork, brisket, ribs, all the stuff. And man, I tell you, it was good. There was no way I was starting a diet when I was dousing my barbecue in raspberry chipotle barbecue sauce, okay? It was delicious. Sorry, I didn't invite you. Maybe next time. Then days go by and there's other things. Banana pudding happened and a lot of other different foods took place. And I still haven't started. I have not hit start on what my goal is. I have a goal. I know where I want to get, but I have not actually started the thing. And I think a lot of times we're like, oh, I want to do this. Oh, I have an idea to do this. Or, oh, this is what God has for me. And then we get it, we put it in the system, and then we just stare at it. It'd be really nice to play, like, to actually do the thing one day, but I like where I'm at better right now because it's more comfortable, it's easier, so on and so forth. Pressing start, understand what it says, it starts a whole new adventure for you. So for I'll give you, I want to bring this to where you live today, okay? I'm going to bring it to where you live, so you'll just stay with me. I'm not just going to talk about video games all morning, I promise. Practically for you today, this is the way I want you to hear this. If the Lord is calling you to be delivered, I'm going to throw something out there. I'm not saying anybody in this room is dealing with this right now, but I'm just throwing something out there as a, for instance. If the Lord has been dealing with you about alcoholism because you have been addicted to alcohol, listen, guess what? It is not enough to just wish you could be free from alcohol. There are actual steps you have to press start on some things which could look different for everyone in this room. Maybe for you, it's you have to separate yourself from some places that you would normally frequent. Maybe it is you have to have accountability and you have to have somebody knowing where you're going at all times. You gotta get a Life 360 app so you know what's happening. Your spouse can check in on you, make sure you're okay. Listen, there's nothing wrong with accountability. Right. Accountability is not control. Amen. And control should never be viewed as accountability either. Accountability is accountability. It means we are holding each other to a certain standard and we are going to be there for each other. We're going to carry each other. We're going to bring things to light in love and in grace and in mercy towards one another. But where I'm getting at is if the Lord is calling you to be delivered of something like that, or maybe sexual, there could be a sexual addiction, maybe there's nicotine addiction, whatever it may be, whatever kind of addiction that is plaguing your life that you know is not God's will. And we could go into deeper things. We can go gossip addiction. Some people are addicted to gossiping. You just can't stop gossiping. You got to talk about everybody's business to everybody. Listen, that's an addiction, and it's literally you're taking a high off of talking bad about other people. Yeah. This is crazy. Whatever that may be, you have to find ways to press start on and you have to make new habits, okay? You have to slowly make new habits. So we're starting a new way. But this is the thing. In the culture doesn't teach us that. The culture teaches us run away from that. It, meaning this, if you've got a problem in your marriage, ooh, go find a new one. Just leave her behind. Leave him behind. That's what the culture says. That's not the way of the word, though. The culture says, if you're struggling in the city in which you live, just go find a new city. Just find somewhere else to go. That's the way the culture views things and the way the culture does things. That's not in accordance to the word, though. It's just all culture says is separate, run away, so on and so forth, get some surgery, do this, do that. That's how everything's going to get better in your life. Listen, if it's not filtered through the word of God, it will not make your life better. Let me go on to say this. If your change is hurting people, it is also not the way of the Lord and not the way that he wants you to change. Meaning this. If you have to be hateful to people in order for you to change, it is not you changing properly. You can separate yourself, but you don't have to be hateful. You can distance yourself from certain things, but you don't have to be hateful. But whenever you become poisonous and start hurting other people because you're changing, it's not true change. You are just hurting people. And it's not the way of Jesus. Jesus would never call you to do something that is going to hurt your brother. Here's why. Scripturally, Jesus gives us two easy things to follow. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And do what? Thank you. It's not a trick question. Love your neighbor as yourself. Some of y'all may struggle with that. But my point is this. If what we are doing whenever we are changing is bringing harm to someone else, it is not effective change. It is not biblical change. Now, there's a balance of this is this. If that person is offended because you are biblically changing, that is not on you, and you are not hurting them. You are just following through with the word of God. But you still have to love that person. You still have to care for that person. You still have to respect that person as a person. You still have to honor that person as a person. I'm not saying you have to honor everything they're saying and doing. I'm saying you have to honor them as a person. And so my point in this is this, that you are still called to love people even in your change. Amen? Amen. That's the way. But the way the word describes changing is being paired with Jesus and his spirit helping you change. The world says the way to new life is just doing something different in your flesh that will give you great happiness. And so the world bases everything on feelings. And the bottom line is this, your feelings will lie to you. I want you to hear me in this room today. Your feelings will lie to you. Now, I'm going to balance it because I will not preach from this pulpit without trying to balance things because I don't want you to run away with something because I never know who's sitting in this room. And I want you to hear my heart. I am also not a person that says, grow up, get over yourself, get over your feelings. I will tell you this, though. Your feelings need to come into alignment with the Word of God. And everything you're feeling has to be filtered through the Word of God. Okay? So there's a balance in not living in your feelings because even in the word, it says that the heart is more deceitful than all things. It's talking about your feelings. Your feelings will deceive you. Your feelings will lie to you. But we are not called to be led by our feelings. We're not called to be led by our flesh. Matter of fact, it says in John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. He will, when the Spirit of God shows up in your situation and shows up in your life, he will guide you into all truth. Not your feelings, into all truth. That's why we talk about it all the time in this church body. This is why we have to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the revenge of the flesh, the sin of the flesh. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you are constantly being led into all truth. Every time I take a step in the Spirit, oh, there's the truth. Every time I take a step in the Spirit, oh, there's the truth. I'm walking in the Spirit, there's the truth, there's the truth, there's the truth. But as soon as I start living in my feelings, I am deceived by the enemy to believe something that doesn't align up with the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. You with me? Okay. I'll make sure you're with me. Bottom line is, you don't need happiness. You need joy that gives birth to happiness. You can do a lot of things that just make you happy. Man, going to Disney World makes me happy. Going to Disney World does not bring me joy because I spend a lot of money and have to fight with people in lines. And it's hot. People stink. The smell of BO is everywhere. It does not bring me joy. It makes me happy to see my kids happy. But that place is the happiest place on earth. It is not the most joyful place on earth, okay? But I need the joy of the Lord, which is my strength, which gives birth to happiness in my life. I don't need in order to have a new life, I don't need to divorce my spouse. I need to work on my marriage and work on me and focus on the two becoming one flesh. That way my marriage can be made new, okay? Now, obviously, there's biblical things When we talk about divorce and such, there's biblical reasons for divorce and so on and so forth. I don't have time to get into it, but I want you to know my heart today that there is biblical grounds. But what I'm saying is for people that are just struggling with communication or whatever it may look like, the way to a better marriage is not divorce. You want to know, I'm ahead of myself. Let me finish what I'm saying. You don't need quiet, you need peace, which will create quiet in your anxious mind. You don't need to just wait. You need to learn to have patience, which will help you wait with a correct attitude. You don't just need to find a new job to fix everything. You need to be faithful where you're at, and from that, doors will open. I don't need to move to fix my life. I need to change where I'm at right now, and then the Lord will open the doors to the places I need to go to. I say all that to say this, because this is the problem. If you don't do the right thing where you are now, guess what? The things may not follow you where you go, but you follow you where you go. And I'm going to be real honest in this church this morning. Is 99.99% repeating times, the problem is standing in the mirror whenever you're getting ready in the morning. Because your troubles, your problems, your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your divisiveness, your troubles, your issues, they still follow you even if you don't have that spouse, even if you don't have that job. You know what? You're just going to get upset and frustrated with another person because you haven't resolved stuff within yourself. Yeah, the depression is just going to follow you somewhere else because you have not received the true joy of the Lord and you have not been healed of some past hurts and things of that nature. The anxiety is still going to be weighing down on you all the time because you haven't healed of some past hurts and some past things. The bottom line is the way to develop a new life is by giving yourself fully to Christ, letting him have his way, the spirit of truth leading you into all truth. And whenever you do that, you become totally new. We know the scripture, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, all things have become new, is what scripture says. And that's in the spirit. Now we got to walk it out in the natural. See, because whenever we give our lives to Jesus, that scripture is fulfilled immediately. But now there's a walking out process of our salvation. There's a walking out process of those things that we want to see take place in our life. I want you to write this down. The way to newness of life is found in your old ways dying. The ways to newness of life is found in your old ways dying. New life is found in the death of your flesh. When your flesh dies, the spirit man arises and helps you walk. Jesus alludes to this to a degree in Matthew chapter 16 when he says, if anyone desires to come after me, what's he go on to say? Let them deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is the words of Jesus. Sweet Jesus, 9 pound, 6 ounce, whatever it is, grown to be a man. This is the words of Jesus. This is what he is speaking. He says, listen, if you want to follow after me, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow him, you want to follow in my footsteps, I want you to hear this. You got to deny yourself. What Jesus is actually saying here to the people is he is saying, you have got to get rid of some feelings you might have. Your feelings are going to lie to you as you on this journey. Your feelings are going to tell you things that are not true in alignment with the teachings that I'm giving to you on this journey. So you're going to have to deny yourself sometimes and deny that feeling whenever it arises. You're going to have to deny it. But then he goes on to say, and take up your cross. See, today we read this and we go, oh man, that was such a beautiful picture of Jesus. Let's listen to Jesus. Jesus said, hey, pick up your hope and follow me. Pick up that faith and follow me. Well, I think some people think that Jesus is saying, hey, pick up the greatest showing of love and follow me. We have to go where they lived. Where did they live? The only understanding they had of the cross was a gruesome, terrible death. So what Jesus is actually telling them here is if you want to follow in the ways that I'm doing, you are going to have to deny some feelings you have and kill your flesh. There's a lot of hooping and hollering over that word today, okay? Like, Jesus is saying the things that you really want to do, you might have to kill. And the ways that you feel about certain people, you might have to put those feelings in the grave. And the way that you've been wanting to do things and how you're wanting to go and do this and you're wanting to go and do that, you are probably going to have to pick that thing up and put it on the cross, because that is the way to following me. Now, I want to balance it with this, because y'all hear this. Some people hear this now and we go, wow, that sounds horrible. I never want to follow Jesus. Jesus is calling me to a really difficult life. I'm not saying Christianity is the epitome of easy, but what I am saying is this, is whenever you can get to a place where it's easy to deny yourself and pick up that cross and put to death the things that you want to do for the ways that are greater and higher and better, you will never know a more abundant life than whenever you can actually do that. You will never know a better life until you learn how to do that. Because then Jesus begins to fulfill everything he said he's going to fulfill through his word. And that's literally what Jesus is telling them here. It's like, if you follow me, good things are going to take place. You know, scripture tells us that that trials, tribulations will happen, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. This is a promise from Jesus once again, telling us, listen, if you follow me, there's going to be some things, there's going to be some boss battles, there's going to be some difficulties, there's going to be some struggles, some situations. But if you continue to follow me, listen, you'll overcome through all life's circumstances, problems, and issues. Listen to me. Killing the desires of your flesh is choosing an abundant life. Killing the desires of your flesh is the choice that I want an abundant life. At the end of the year, this past year, I'm pretty sure most of us probably thought back and thought on the good, the bad, and the ugly, all the things that have taken place. But like I said, I heard the Lord say, press start on the new. When you start something new, you can't constantly be thinking about the past, right? You got to focus on what you're doing now, where God is calling you now. Because listen to me, I'm going to free your heart for a second. Dwelling on the past doesn't change it. You can dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it. Rewind the tape, hit play. Rewind the tape, hit play. Rewind the tape, hit play. Rewind. You can do that all day long. And guess what? That is never going to change the past. Dwelling on the past only does this. It spoils your future. That's all it does. It spoils your future because of this right here. I'm going to write this down. When you look to the past, you forget who holds your future. When you're constantly looking back to the past, your eyes and your focus are on the wrong thing. You can't focus on who's holding your future. All you can focus on is how you did this wrong and how this was messed up and how this person did you wrong and how this person did that in your life and how your boss doesn't like you, blah, blah, blah. If you're constantly looking back and looking to the past, you will forget who's holding your future and who's bringing all things together for you for your good. You know, we kind of see this in the story of the children of Israel. Whenever they're moving forward, they begin to ask, hey, Moses, did you bring us here to die? They start looking back. We would have been better to stay in bondage than you bring us this far just for us to die. There was food back there. There ain't nothing right here. Lot's wife. Lot's wife does what? She looks back. What happens with Lot's wife? She turns into a pillar of salt. There's a beautiful poetic picture in this, because Jesus later on calls us the salt of the earth. So what happens is, literally, I have a whole message on this and I don't have time to go into all of it today, but Lot's wife turns into a pillar or a statue of what she was called to be, what Jesus was going to call to be, and what Jesus was making us to be. She turns into a pillar of or a statue of, only so people can behold it and go, what she could have been. Whenever you are constantly looking back to the past, you are frozen where you were at. And only thing people can do is look at you and go, man, what he could have been. Oh, man, what she could have accomplished. Oh, what God could have used and done in her life. But all she can hold on to is the shame, the fear, the control, the way people did wrong, the bitterness. All she can do is hold on to that. But man, I can see where God was going to turn all of that around and use it for her good. But now all we have is a frozen promise to look at. Let that not be said of you today, that you're constantly holding on, looking to the past, and you're stuck, and people are looking. Man, don't let it be said of our church that we're ever looking back and going, oh, the good old days. That's the words of a dying church. Oh, the good old days. Oh, back in the day. Oh, this. That's the words of a dying church. God is taking the church from glory to glory and faith to faith. And if we're constantly looking back, please understand the way I'm saying that. We honor the days of past. We're thankful for seeds sown. We continue to water the seeds that are sown. But we don't look to the past going, oh, back in the day, back in my day, it was this way. We had a three-song hymnal and blah, blah, blah. Man, I'm thankful we got some instruments that play now. I'm thankful we got a full worship team. I'm thankful we can press into the things of the Lord. If the world can do it, why can't the church do it? If the world can use instruments to glorify themselves and glorify others, why can't we use instruments to glorify God, the creator of all things? Man, I'm thankful for where God is taking the church. I'm thankful for what he's doing within the church globally and at large, and how he's changing things and he's rearranging things so that people can be ministered to in a new way. Amen. So, Moses, why'd you bring us here tonight? That's where I was at. Lot's wife looks back. You can't change the past, but the Spirit of Truth can help you change your future. Don't look at those things any longer in a longing way. There's a difference between looking in the past in a way of thankfulness, gratitude, where God's taken us, where God's brought us, and then there's a difference between that and longing for the days of old again. May we continue to move forward and press start, move forward in what he has for us. But we can continue in the story of Moses, where Moses is told by God, hey, go free the Israelites. Moses goes to Pharaoh, says, hey, let the people go, bro. And Pharaoh refuses. So God sends the plagues, right? Finally, Pharaoh relents, says, okay, go. They go, they get to the Red Sea, but then Pharaoh decides somewhere along the way to attack the Israelites. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all stay with me. So they begin to see Pharaoh and his army and begin to cry, why'd you bring us here to die? And Moses replies this, and we find this in Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 16. If you can put the text on the screen, Exodus 14, 13 through 16, it says this. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Verse 15, and the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, go forward. Or we could say it, move on. Press start. Move on. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. There's a beautiful poetic picture here, I believe. I believe that the word of God is for us to learn from, to teach, to train. But I am a person that is very much, I love beautiful stories in the word. But I'm very much a person that whenever I read the word, it is what can I learn from it now? What is biblical practical application that I can use the word? It's great to have a lot of knowledge of the word, but if we are not practically applying the word, it's really no use. So here at High Praise, we preach biblical practical principles to live by in accordance to the word. So I want to show you this real quickly. I want to put you in this picture for a moment. How many of you believe that you were never called to be enslaved to sin? Anybody? Never called to be enslaved to shame, to condemnation, to any of those things. You are never called to be a slave to any of those things. That's not what God's purpose, plan, will, and desire is for your life. He desires that you live free. We see here that the children of Israel were slaves. I don't believe they were ever supposed to be enslaved. Okay? They're set free from slavery. And this is what's going to happen. This is what happens a lot in our lives, where we are enslaved by things within our life, addiction, shame, condemnation, fear, control, all these things. We are enslaved by those things. And then there's a moment that happens within our life where we start seeing freedom take place. And this may be the case, and this is why I want you to take heart of this word today, because I'm about to preach for a second, okay? I want you to take heart in this right now, that as you begin to press start on doing something new and you start finding freedom from addiction, you start finding freedom from shame, you start finding freedom from religiosity, you start finding freedom from all these different things that have been holding you captive and been holding you down, when you start finding all these things, and let me go here for just a second. Let me pause for a second. We talk about picking up your cross, denying yourself picking up your cross. Can I go on to say this too? And I said this in first service and I skipped over it in second because it wasn't my notes, but the Lord just prompted me to bring it up once again of this. Just because you, understand when I say this, you have religified, that's not a word, but I'm gonna use it as a word, religified, made it religious, your sin does not make it sin. Thank you. I'll show you in a second, okay? In text, in scripture, Jesus was opposed to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. As a matter of fact, if you study scripture, you'll find that Pharisees and Sadducees were listed as worse of sinners than people that committed adultery. The people that had sexual immorality. However, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they had it all together, right? They knew the law. They were living holy. They were doing everything that was supposed to be done, so on and so forth, according to the law, so on and so forth. So on paper, they had everything right that they were supposed to be doing. But according to scripture, they had not picked up their cross and started following Jesus. Where am I getting at? I'm saying this. Even though some of us think that we are, see, because there's some that have abused religion and created bondage. And religion has become bondage for people. Religion was never supposed to be bondage. Listen, I'm a religious person. And I don't mean it in the way that you're thinking right now. Because following Jesus is part of a religion that we are a part of, but it's more based on relationship than religiosity or a set of rules or so on and so forth. It is based on relationship and love. Okay? One day I'll really break this down for you because some of y'all scratch your head looking, what are you talking about, dude? Listen, where I'm getting at is this. Whenever you deny yourself and pick up your cross, it may be that you have some skewed views of how Jesus would view people, and you are treating people the way that Jesus would never treat them. And if that's the case, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. Just because you put Jesus on it doesn't make it Jesus. Just because you put God told me on it doesn't make it the Lord. Huh? God did not tell you to hate people. I don't care what you think. You're wrong. Because scripture tells you you're wrong. Okay? If you are to deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him, that means that you are following the ways that Jesus lived. And if you don't know the way that Jesus lived, you can't deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him, which means you need to go read your word and see how Jesus lived. Yep. Amen? Yes. It's impossible to follow the leader if you don't know who the leader is or what they're doing. Anybody ever play the game Simon Says? Imagine playing Simon Says with me, and I go back in that room back there in the office area, turn my mic off, and I'm saying, Simon Says do this. Simon Says do that. You have no clue what I'm saying or what you're supposed to do, do you? No, because there's no one leading you or guiding you. In order to actually pick up your cross and follow Jesus, you have to know the message, the gospel, the good news, and who Jesus was and how he treated people, the way he interacted with people. You've got to know who Jesus actually was in order to do that. Amen? Let's come back to the text. We're talking about how Moses is leading the children of Israel. And now they're at this point where they're at the Red Sea. They're standing looking at it. There's no way forward, right? And then they hear the horse and the chariots and the swordsmen on their way. This is a beautiful poetic picture of you getting free from your past and what has enslaved you. And then you're getting to a new place and it's time to press start and you're wondering, but where do I go? Because you're hearing the shame of the past echoing in your ears. You're hearing your disappointments echoing in your ears. You're being reminded of things that you've done in your past, and it feels like they're about to overtake you again. But I have a word for you this morning, and I want to remind you that the Lord is saying, move forward, and I will create the way where there was no way. I will make a way. I will open up the sea and let you walk right through on dry ground. And the things you thought that happened in the past, yeah, they happened in the past, but the things you thought were going to overtake you, no, the Lord says, I'm going to open up a new doorway and a new pathway to lead you into. That where you thought you were going to be overtaken by shame and people that have talked bad about you and the mouth of the accuser that's been yapping and yapping, the Lord says, surely no, then I'll open up a way and I'll shut the mouth of the lion and I'll shut the mouth of the accuser of the brethren, and I will lead you to a new way. And the places in your marriage where there's been division and there's been contention and there's where there's been separation, the Lord says, I'll open up a way and bring you into a place that brings unity and unifies your marriage and your family once again. The Lord is saying, don't be worried about the past. Leave it in the past and press start and move on and move forward in what I'm calling you to do. Amen. It's a beautiful poetic picture. We're the children of Israel, being led by the Holy Spirit out of Egypt, out of bondage. And yeah, there's going to be times. I want you to hear me today. If you think you're going to start something new and the enemy's not going to try to bring in a counterattack, you have fooled yourself. And this is an arming word for you today. It is a word to war, a good warfare with today, as you are creating new things that the Lord wants for you in your life, new freedoms and deliverance. This is an arming word that's letting you know, keep on. Even when you hear the words, even when you think the thoughts, keep on, because the Lord is with you. Amen? I'm coming to a close. Band, you can go and come prepare yourself. 2025 may have been a year of destruction and bad habits and maybe even anger. But I believe that 2025 is a year that you press start on joy, on life, on freedom, peace. 2024 was marked maybe with depression and sorrow, but today we're making a choice to press start on the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, Scripture says, you've turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. I'm telling you, God's giving you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. 2024, you may have been prideful, religious, better than, only my way is right. I can learn from nobody else. Maybe that's the thought process that you've had. But I believe in 2025, we're becoming humble and compassionate and full of grace. Matter of fact, Scripture says God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. 2024, you may have been an angry person, a mean-spirited person, short-fused, pharisaical, walked in unforgiveness, but I believe that 2025 is whenever we clothe ourselves with his nature. In accordance to Colossians 3 and 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When you get rid of our sin and fleshly desires and receive a new spirit, 2024 may have been riddled with fear and anxiety, but today we press forward, putting on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God, which includes the shoes of peace. Matter of fact, Romans 16:20 says, the God of peace will crush Satan underneath our feet. I believe that. What has seemed like wastelands and deserts are about to be ways of streams of life. God's going to make ways that seem like there could be no way. In 2025, the Red Sea seemed like a place of death and destruction, but they moved on and it became a place of new life for them. As a matter of fact, what happened was, once they crossed the Red Sea, they said, hey, Miriam, strike up the band. We got a party to do. We got to rejoice in the Lord. There's some things that the Lord wants to do and the Lord has already done. And now we got to lift up a shout of joy and rejoice in the Lord. Miriam, get the tambourine. The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. Can I tell you that this year you need to begin to declare, once you know that your enemy is vanquished, once you know that your enemy has been destroyed, once you know that it's been swallowed up in a sea of victory, once you know you've been delivered, once you know you've been set free, when you know your marriage has been restored, when you know that relationship has been restored, you begin to declare, the horse and the rider are thrown into the sea in Jesus' mighty name. I'm moving forward with a high hand. Listen to me. The things that sustained you in 2024 cannot be the things that sustain you in 2025. God wants to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing, but we as followers of Christ, we have to pair with heaven prepare with the Holy Spirit and press start and start moving in the new things that He has for us. Amen. Will you lift your hands right where you're at today? Father, I thank you for your people now. I pray a blessing over their life. I decree and I declare that this word today, it doesn't fall on deaf ears, Lord, but Lord, the word that you have sent, Father, you'll be faithful to complete what you've started. Today we ask, Holy Spirit, help us. Give us grace to continue to move forward, even in the concern of the past, even with... I want to prophesy something real quickly. I'm gonna give this word, whoever this is for, I just want you to grab hold of it today. But for some of you, you've experienced, there's been some intense trauma that took place over this last year. And I hear the Lord saying, I'm healing that even here and now. I'm making that area of your life brand new, says the Spirit of the Lord. So right now, we thank you for healing hearts, minds, right now, and bodies in Jesus' name. We decree and we declare it's a new day. Arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Awake, O sleeper. We thank you that today we press start on a new thing with you, God. Help us, Holy Spirit. Lead us, Holy Spirit. Guide us into all truth. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for everything you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen and amen. Will you give God a hand clap of praise?